You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are moving into the final section of all of our themes. So for those of you who've been with me for the long haul, we've almost made it. And we are second day of January as of this recording. So happy new year to all of you. I hope you had a lovely time with your family and your friends and you were able to celebrate and that you are excited about the new year and what it will bring. I know there are amazing things in store, especially as the child-centered play therapy space continues to grow. And so happy new year. Very excited to have our first episode of 2024 together. So we're moving into sexualized play themes. And there are four that we will cover. So after four more of these theme episodes, we are ready to move on in the curriculum. So that's very exciting too. Before I dive into the theme for today, I want to remind you it is now January, so clock is ticking. We have less than a month now before my first CEU training with Corewell. So I want to make sure that if you are interested at all, if you need CEUs, I literally just finished six CEUs a couple days ago for mine. So if you are needing CEUs, if you want to bank them for when your license renews or when your RPT requirements are needing to be turned in, please go to childcenteredtraining.com. It will forward you to the registration page. There are a limited number of seats, and Joseph, who is the guy at Corewell, he said that typically the workshops and the CEU classes fill up pretty quickly right before the training. So limited number of seats, APT limits it to 50 people. So please make sure that you get in if you are wanting to join that CEU group. It'll be so much fun. And I'll actually be able to see your faces, which is awesome because it's a live webinar. So I usually just get to think about you when I talk to you, but I would love to actually see you and interact on a one-on-one basis on the webinar. So childcenteredtraining.com, that'll forward you. All right, so let's talk through the first sexualized play theme, which is when the child is actually playing out sexual activities in the play session. So what might this look like? So either they will use miniatures, animals, figures, dolls, and they will play out sexual activities. So sometimes this is just genital contact. Sometimes it mirrors the sexual act. Sometimes it looks like oral. So you will just see the child demonstrate sexual activity using dolls, miniatures, figures, animals, things like that. And this is, in my opinion, we don't work with a lot of sexual abuse cases. We don't work with a lot of children who have dealt with sexual trauma of any kind. But the times that we have, and we've seen this play out, and this is just me being really transparent. I'll get back to the theme in a second, but I just want you all to know this is one of the trickiest things for me to navigate when I've had this in play sessions. And I think it's just because it's not something that I'm super comfortable and familiar with, number one. So I think it's just a lack of exposure. But then from a personal standpoint, I think it just hits me deeper than other play. And I know every therapist has that one type of play that really kind of unnerves them or bothers them. For some, it's aggressive play. For some, it's reckless play. For me, it has pretty much always been any kind of sexualized play. Unless I know that there is no history of any kind of sexual trauma or abuse, and maybe they've just seen something that they're replaying out. In other words, like they saw a video or they saw a movie or something that they're playing out, that's different. But when I know there's a history of trauma and abuse, this is tricky for me to not let it kind of get under my skin a little bit. So I just want to be really clear on that. This is probably my Achilles heel if there is one as far as the themes that emerge in the play session for me personally. So when we see a child acting out sexual activities in the playroom, we need to understand what potential meanings and root causes. So I think the disclaimer that I need to throw out in this episode is we cannot assume that just because the child is playing out sexual activity, that they are being abused or they have been abused. That is something that a lot of my therapists have really panicked about and come to me and said, oh my gosh, do I need to file a report? And what do I need to do? And do I need to talk to the parents? And so just be cautious. Just because they play something out in the playroom, it does not mean that there is a history of abuse or trauma. It can mean that, but it does not automatically mean that. So caution against reacting, because recently I worked with a boy who was exposed to pornography by one of his friends at school, and he was mimicking the sounds and the activities that he had seen in the video, but there was no history of trauma or abuse, and therefore I had to kind of wait to see how that unfolded to figure out what was going on. So it is very important to give it a little bit of space and not only see if it happens repetitively, but also see where the child goes with it and what is driving it. And you will be able to infer what's going on there if you give it several sessions and give the child opportunities to continue to play it out. So what are the potential meanings? If the child has been exposed to sexual activity that he or she does not understand, then they will play it out. This is similar to any scenario. If a child is dealing with something they don't understand, they will play it out, right? So this is exactly the same as any other topic that we see. And this includes videos. This includes movies. This includes shows. So young children can, you know, walk out and see something on TV or on a movie, and they are not sure what they've seen. So they will play it out. So it does not necessarily mean that they have been abused or traumatized. It just means they've been exposed to it. That's a very different scenario. So if they are confused, if they need understanding, they will play it out. Another potential meaning is that they have, in fact, been sexually abused. So we have to recognize that is a cause, and this is how we use our clinical judgment to assess what is the child processing and what is our next step. Another option is sometimes kids will do something innocently that can be received as sexualized. So they might touch their genitals, they might touch someone else's genitals, they might say body part words, and they quickly realize that it gains immediate attention of adults. So then they become conditioned that, oh, this gets a reaction. Oh, this gets a big attention. So then they start doing it on purpose because they know that people give them a certain response. So sometimes kids are seeking the therapist's attention and or they're seeing what the reaction is going to be. So in those cases, they have not necessarily been exposed to anything, but they realize that this act or dialogue or behavior usually elicits a certain response. So that can be some boundary testing and or some attention-seeking behavior on the part of the child. Or another potential meaning is they are just really curious about sexuality. And so they're trying to make sense of it, play it out, and it's more of an investigative type of play. They're just exploring and they're curious. And so they're using the playroom just like kids will do that about other topics in their life. They will play out social interactions. They will play out understanding of power and control or good versus bad or whatever. You know, when there's curiosity and confusion about something, kids will play it out. So those are the potential meanings when you see sexualized activities in a child's play. Again, it's important not to jump to conclusions. We always document. We always make a note. We keep a mental note for sure because we want to see if it continues from week to week. We want to see what progress or shifts that we observe. And then we decide if we need to discuss with parents or file a report or whatever. But again, if it happens one time, it usually is an outlier. If it happens consistently, then there's something more significant there. And again, waiting to see how the child allows that play to unfold will give us cues into what the child is actually working on. So I hope that that's helpful. That is the first of these last four of this category. So next week, we're going to be talking about when sexual behaviors are directed at you, the therapist, which can always be awkward and uncomfortable. So we're going to dive into that. And, you know, it's always tricky when there's an awareness on our part, but not necessarily on the child's part, and how to navigate that. So that's going to be an important one as well. I am very grateful for each and every one of you. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2024. We will talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.